I'm just struck by the fact that when we say something like we bow down in this place, the building that we're in doesn't make a difference. Anywhere that we go, anywhere that we visit, anywhere that we stay or dwell, we can experience the presence of the Lord with us. And we're told in Scripture that when we become believers, when we repent and turn to Jesus as Lord and Saviour, that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Friends, our very bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. He is always with us. I think it's a great mystery. We can sing the same song multiple times on multiple occasions, but there are those times when the words speak right into our very being. Megan, thank you for leading us into the presence of God this evening. It is a joy to worship our Saviour, isn't it? Whatever the world does, we should never let it get in the way of us praising our Lord. The Bible says that we are to rejoice always, to rejoice in every circumstance. What, when I lose my job? Yes. When I'm involved in a minor accident? Yes. When it's raining? Yes. When it's sunny? Yes. At all times we are to praise our Lord, because He is always worthy of our praise. And humanly speaking, that's difficult. But when we allow God to move in us and through us, change comes. Transformation comes. And it's a great mystery. It's a mystery how God is willing to meet us at our point of need. And yet He does, because He is so faithful in all that He does. This evening, we're going to unlock the mystery chosen to explain. I think quite often when we think of the word mystery, we picture something that's hidden or secret, like a detective story waiting to be solved. The Bible, especially in the New Testament, speaks of divine mysteries, truths that were once concealed that have now been revealed through Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want us to unlock the profound mystery of God's plan for humanity, which the Apostle Paul calls the mystery of Christ. And as we investigate the Word of God this evening, we will see that God's mysteries are not meant to be forever hidden. Through the revelation of God, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, we can understand and embrace and believe the mysteries that are contained within the Word of God. Our foundational verse this evening is Ephesians 3, verse 9. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. This is the Apostle Paul talking. This is the Apostle Paul as he writes a letter to the church at Ephesus. God has chosen many people over the years to reveal His truth. The prophets, the mighty men of God, the apostles, preachers, and ordinary people. He has chosen many people over the years to be His mouthpiece, to bring truth, speak light into the darkness. And when God is allowed to work in us and through us, when we don't try and block what He is doing, God can use any one of us for His honour, for His glory, and for kingdom. We proclaim the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He lived, He died, He rose again. He is the Saviour of the world, and we can trust Him. Yes, there may be things that we don't understand. There may be things that will always remain a mystery to us until we're called home to heaven. But we can trust that our God is true and that everything He has said is right. So the first point, what is the mystery? What is it that Paul is talking about? In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, the Apostle Paul writes this. As I briefly wrote earlier, God Himself revealed His mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by His Spirit, He has revealed it to His holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. The mystery is this, that through Jesus Christ, salvation is available to all who will believe in Him, to all who will trust in Him as Lord and Saviour. regardless of what your background is, Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, when you come to the point of acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord, when you repent from your sins, you are saved. Doesn't matter about your past, your future is secure in Christ. Maybe that should make us a bit more happy. We've been set free. We no longer are responsible for the burden of our sins. Christ has paid the price for us to be set free. One of you is happy. Praise God. When I think about the punishment that Jesus bore on my behalf, it breaks me. When I think of all that he did to set me free, and that if I had been the only one who had ever sinned, he would have still done it. That blows my mind. And every single one of us that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, we have been forgiven. All of our sins, past, present, future, have already been dealt with. We're not condemned anymore. We're saved. We're called children of the living God. We're adopted into the family of God. Gosh, we're so happy about that this evening. It's a mystery to me why we're not always filled with joy. Why we're not walking 3 foot above the ground because we are so happy that we're in Christ. Maybe we let the world get in the way. Maybe we let circumstance or situation weigh us down. We have been, if we already trusted in Jesus, we've already been through a radical transformation. We have been brought from death to life, from darkness to light. The barriers that prevented us from spending eternity with God have been broken. We have free access to God when we pray, when we speak. God is listening. It's a mystery to me how God can listen to every single one of us at exactly the same time and still know and care about what we're saying to him. I mean, if you think that with the billions of people on this planet, that at any given time, there could be hundreds, thousands, perhaps even millions of people speaking to him at exactly the same time in prayer. Yet God hears every prayer. He answers every prayer. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait, but he is listening when we speak to him. Maybe we need to listen for his voice a little bit more. Maybe instead of just rushing into circumstances and situations, we should just pause. And as we're told in the Old Testament in one of the Psalms, to be still and know that he is God. We've been through a radical transformation, friends. We've got a unity in Christ because we are family. Look at the person sitting next to you and say, we're family.
We're family.
If you haven't got someone sitting next to you, look at the person in front or behind. Sister Sledge.
That's what I feel like.
You feel like? Maybe we'll get you to sing that as a solo later, Paul. We are family. We are family. Brothers and sisters, yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are people in this room that I probably wouldn't have picked to be part of my family if I was choosing myself.
Thanks, Dean.
I'm sure that, you know, weird Uncle Dean, maybe you would have put up with me at Christmas or, you know, send me a birthday card, but you probably wouldn't want to be in relationship with me as family. But God has brought us together. But,
I said you're not.
I'm not that bad. My daughter says I'm not that bad for the benefit of the recording. I'm not that bad, I'm worse. Yeah, we know the truth. But it's a mystery. We've come from different backgrounds, and in some cases we come from a different theological understanding of the word, yet God has brought us together as family. And like any good family, we're stuck as we are with our weird brothers and sisters, with the quirky uncle, because we are together. The thing that is common to us is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And speaking as one who was a Jew, talking to you Gentiles out there, the message of the gospel is applicable to all who will respond to the truth of who Jesus is. Paul emphasizes here there's a mystery. The word that he uses is mysterion. It means something that's hidden that is now revealed. Paul uses that word to make it clear that God's eternal plan has been made visible in Jesus Christ. Life, death, resurrection, it is the way of salvation. And it wasn't that God changed his mind. Jesus coming into this world was not plan B. Right from eternity, when God first created humanity, he knew that we would fall. He knew that we would stumble. But he didn't create us as mindless puppets to worship him. So even before he created us, he knew he would have to send his son to die for us so that we can be forgiven. Could there have been another way? Yes, we could have been like puppets, worshipping God because that's how we were designed. But the mystery is God wants us to choose to worship him. He wants us to choose to love him. He wants us to choose to make him the center of our lives. And he still loves us. God hasn't changed his mind, but the timing of his revelation in Jesus Christ was perfect. Romans 16, 25 to 26 states this. Now all glory to God who is able to make you strong, just as my good news says. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they too might believe and obey him. To quote the minister, Alistair Begg, the mystery is not a puzzle to be solved, but a wonder to be revealed. It is a wonderful revelation that has come from God, that has told us how we can be saved, how we can be set free, how we can enter into relationship with God. And through the Bible, through God's word, the truth is revealed to us. The truth is, second point, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the key to unlocking the mystery. At the center of the mystery is Jesus Christ himself. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. The mystery of Jesus is not just about inclusion. It is about transformation. It's about the change that comes when we trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Over the years, there were many false messiahs. There were many who gathered followers, and they pretended to be the anointed one. But Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, proved that he was truly the Messiah. His disciples' willingness to die because of their faith in him proves that he was the Messiah. At any given time, the disciples could have just denied that Jesus was Lord, and they would have been set free, loosed from captivity. They would not have had to be punished and die if Jesus was a liar. But every one of his disciples, they beheld him. They saw him after the resurrection. Every one of his disciples knew that Jesus was, is, and always will be the Son of God. They trusted in him. There was no doubt in their mind. I mean, okay, Thomas doubted a little bit. All the things that Thomas did, and we know him as Doubting Thomas. And he said, unless I see, unless I observe for myself the marks in his hand, I'm not going to believe. And then Jesus turns up one day in front of him and the other disciples. And Thomas doesn't reach out to touch Jesus' wounds. He falls to his knees and says, my Lord and my God. Friends, there is that time in our life when we fell to our knees, when we bow down, when we profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that day should have changed us. And we should have been going through a process of change since then, because God changes us from the inside out. The mystery of Christ is the transformation that comes in people's lives when they accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. There's a line from a song that says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Maybe we don't feel like that at times. Maybe we put ourselves down too much. But the indwelling presence of Christ does change everything about us. Our past is forgiven. Our present is secure. Our future is secure in Christ. We're no longer separated from God. Through Jesus, we have direct access to Abba, Father. And obviously, I'm not talking about a 1970s pop group there. Abba. It's a term of endearment in the Aramaic. It means daddy. We have access to daddy, to our father. Not through strange rituals, not through sacrifice of goats or burnt offerings. We can simply open our hearts and minds to God in prayer. And he listens. Despite the billions of people in the world, millions that are praying at the same time, God listens to each and every one of us. We're not separated. We have access. We have an inheritance. An inheritance in heaven, eternal life. The security of knowing that we are going to spend eternity with him. There's a Hebrew word for dwelling or tabernacling, shekan. It refers to God's presence being amongst his people. God is with us here tonight. God will be with you when you go home. God will be with you while you sleep. When you get up in the morning and you're worried that you haven't got enough bread to make toast. God will be with you. In every circumstance, in every situation, just as God's glory dwelt at the tabernacle with the Israelites, Christ dwells within us. Mind blowing. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken to heaven in glory. Friends, we may not fully grasp this truth, but by faith we believe that Jesus came. By faith we believe that he was born of a virgin, that he was fully God, that he was fully man. He lived, he died, and he rose on the third day. By faith we believe this. The disciples, the early disciples, saw it for themselves. Yet Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. And friends, that's you and me. Jesus ascended into heaven. His disciples were there watching it. And one day he will return. We don't know when he'll return, but we know he has promised that he's coming back. And whether it's today, tomorrow, or even 2,000 years from now, the church of God is called to be ready when he comes. Third point, the mystery revealed through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who illuminates the mystery in our hearts. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. I pray that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. The eyes of the heart, that's our spiritual eyes. It's allowing us to understand what was previously hidden. We may understand it to varying degrees of understanding. As we grow in our Christian faith, as we grow in our walk with the Lord, he does reveal his truths to us. The truth doesn't change, but our understanding of the truth will grow. If we take the time to read his word, if we take the time to pray, if we take time to be in relationship with him, we will learn more about him. That's why Jesus said in John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. It's not something we can do in our own strength. We can read the Bible, we can learn biblical Greek, we can learn Hebrew. We can learn Aramaic. We can look at the original texts as they're displayed in museums. But without God, without the Holy Spirit quickening our hearts and minds, it's just words on a page. When God works in us and through us, he brings revelation, he brings understanding. And we should be so joyful because he has revealed his truth to us. And the Spirit does lead us in truth. There are those times in our lives when perhaps we don't want to listen to God. There are those times when we don't want to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit because it might be that God is saying, that thing that you love so much, that thing that you enjoy, that's become central to your life, you need to push it to one side so that you can concentrate on Father God. And there are other times when we're seeking direction, when we're seeking the purpose of God for us, that we just want to listen and we want to respond to the truth that God is bringing into our lives. The revelation of God, it's not about head knowledge. It's all about heart transformation. And God continues to transform our hearts, friends. It's not a one and done. He continues to work in us and through us. It was John Piper who said, "The Spirit illuminates the Word, unlocks its mysteries, and makes it alive in us." The Word of God is a living Word, and it is meant to change us, to transform us, to make us into the people that God has called us to be. We need to read the Word to actually understand what God is saying to us. Fourth point, living in the light of the mystery. Understanding the mystery isn't just an intellectual exercise. It has profound implications for how we live our daily lives. We are recipients of the mystery. We're called to live in the light of God. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." We're entering into Halloween week. The world needs to see the light of God. The world needs you to be a beacon in the darkness. Different Christians have different ideas about Halloween and whether it's safe to celebrate or okay to celebrate. But the Bible is clear when it says that we must avoid darkness. We're meant to embrace the light. We are meant to be the light. We are meant to be the beacons. We are living in the light of the mystery of God's word. We are walking in the truth of God. Our lives must reflect his glory in everything that we do. And friends, at Christmas we have an opportunity to share the gospel about the Saviour coming. At Easter we have the opportunity to share the truth of the resurrection. And at Halloween, we have an opportunity to proclaim the light of the world to those that are worshipping darkness. In fact, Matthew 5, 14 to 16 says this, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Jesus, the light of the world, calls us to shine for him. He calls us to step into those areas where there is a darkness of sin and to call those that we meet, those that we speak to, into God's marvelous light. By our witness, by our words, by our actions, we can be a beacon. We can be the one that leads someone else from darkness to the light of God. We can be the one that speaks truth. Salvation can come when we share the truth of who Jesus is. With our work colleagues, with our friends, with our neighbours. Thursday night we're going to be here with Alpha. And you've basically got a choice. You can come to Alpha or you can sit at home with your curtains drawn, and if someone happens to knock on your door for trick or treat, you can ignore the door, or you could go and just say to someone, "Jesus loves you." You can be the light in the darkness just by using the word, the name Jesus. The name that is above every other name. The name that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And maybe the world needs to see us do that now so that they can be attracted to Jesus too. In conclusion, today we've explored the divine mystery of God's plan. The plan that was enacted through the life, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tonight I stand in awe of his grace, in awe of his love, in awe of his mercy to each and every one of us. Christ came to reconcile us to Father God, to bring us into the light, to give us the hope, the certainty, the assurance of eternal life when we trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. So my question to you this evening is, what are you going to do with the truth? Are you going to embrace the mystery that's been unlocked and let it continue to transform your life? Are you willing to be a beacon to others so that they might discover Jesus for themselves? Maybe this evening you've never experienced the personal joy of knowing Jesus for yourself. It's very simple to unlock a relationship with Jesus. All we have to do is turn from our old lives. The Bible calls it repentance. It's turning away from what we've done and trusting in Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour. Knowing him as the light in our world. Knowing that Jesus offers forgiveness and hope and the promise of his presence to all who will repent and invite him into their lives. Each of us need to surrender to him. Even those of us that have been Christians for years, we still need to surrender to him and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. As Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the mystery. And many of us know that this is truth. I trust that God will use us to communicate truth this week and beyond to those that are broken, to those who need to know that there is a God who loves them and cares for them, for those who need to know that there is a light in the darkness. It's not a train coming towards them at the end of the track. The light that illuminates the world, the light that sets us free and rescues us from darkness, his name is Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our Saviour. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love towards us. I thank you from the eternity you planned a way for us to be reconciled to you. You didn't make us as mindless puppets. You didn't create us, Lord, as those that would be forced to worship you. You gave us choice and free will. And I thank you, Lord, for those in the room tonight who have turned to you, for those who have already been forgiven and set free from the burden of their sin. And I simply ask, Lord, that if there's any amongst us this evening that still need to take that step of faith, that they would know that you are standing there with arms outstretched, ready to welcome them in. Thank you, Lord, that you are able to save. Thank you, Lord, that you have conquered the power of death. Thank you that Satan is a defeated foe. And although he will continue to try and spread darkness, there is nothing that he can do to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We praise you for who you are, Lord. We worship you and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell within each and every one of us. I ask, Lord, for that special blessing of Father, Son and Spirit upon each and every one of us, now and evermore. Amen.